This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Real Racing USA, back for another Tuesday night edition. Real Racing USA Live, right here in the Real Racing USA Live studios. What a week it's been. A lot of cool things coming up this weekend. The Karnak Outlaw Street Stock 100 down at Charlotte County Motorsports Park. We're going to go down for that one, Jack. Should be a lot of fun. Probably going to be a little chilly this weekend, though.
Yeah. Good evening, Rick.
Good evening, Jack.
Jack Smith, also known as Redneck Ronnie.
You got a lot of names.
I got a lot of names.
You got a lot of names. That's all have a lot of names.
Yeah, we all do. Hey, man. You know what? I got a great compliment on the show last night. We're doing the Inside Florida show with, of course, Bonehead Rob Elting and C.C. Brooks. Rob said I have nice hair.
Yeah, I heard that.
Didn't you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
That was sweet of him.
That was very sweet of him, but I think he just didn't have anything to say at the moment. That's what I was thinking anyway.
Too funny. Tonight,
we've got Glenn Luckett from the Championship Racing Association, the Late Model Racing, Midwest?
CRA Super Series, that coming to Lakeland, Florida for Speedfest 2008.
Randy Dye from Trackside Tonight.
London. And a lot of other things.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking Randy Dye live from the Orlando Civic Center.
Yes, sir. Checking him out of Magic Game. Of course, Ken Kenny, the man with two first names. The United Dirt Late Model Series is going to be on. He's got some things. And Skip Wall from SouthernMotorRacing.com.
He's got a very, very interesting story tonight from Mr. Skip Wall. He's going to talk about a man who was in the just recently passed away, who created one of the most significant motorsports publications in the South that existed for 40 years. We happen to have in our possession all 40 years of those editions.
Wow.
And the guy, we're going to be doing some things with those. Skip's going to talk all about that.
And with us in studio tonight, we have Rick and Susan from the Fast Mini Cup Series. Going to be talking about their series and some other things that are happening.
The brother of Birdman.
The brother of Birdman. Well, we'll get the ball rolling right now. Rick, your first completed season this year, how did it go?
Absolutely phenomenal. For being a grassroots in our inaugural season, it started off real strong, and it mellowed out a little bit because this is, like you say, everybody knows mini cups are a budget sport. And, you know, we allowed a couple of the racers to drop a few races, so they elected to take some time and do a little vacation, take a week off. But other than that, I would say for a rookie team, we did real well.
I'd say so, too, because you had some dates at DeSoto Speedway. Now, that's a big thing in itself, getting in there with John to run there. And you put on some damn good races up there.
Yeah, we tried with John Sapicone since the beginning of the year, and he was a hard man to press to get some dates, and he gave us a few dates because of the other Florida Mini Cup. They couldn't quite meet the quota because they don't have quite the car count. So we went ahead and filled them dates, and we put on such a great show. He invited us back, and then this year we got six or seven more dates, and we didn't even request him. He just put us on his roster.
Yeah, I know, as being the announcer there, the excitement that some of those races put on, where the fans in the stands were just loving it.
Yeah, that's where Cinderay Irish and the 05 Checkers Monte Carlo got her first win.
Yes, sir, and it was an awesome win, too, because it was a battle back and forth the whole race.
Yeah, she had to really work for it. She started in the back and had to fight with another one of the other competitors, and she took him on the last lap on the outside, high side, you know, right across the checker flag. I mean, it pretty much was almost a photo finish, but she beat him by about a door.
Now, just for the people that are tuning in that don't know, explain what a mini cup car is.
A mini cup car is a half-scale style NASCAR. I mean, that's what it's based on. And most of the bodies are replicas of some of your favorite drivers up in the NASCAR. but it's a full tube chassis, complete roll cage, 5-point roll harness. The engine's in the rear. They start out with a 13-horse Honda, and after you get done modifying them up a little bit, they run between 22, 25 horsepower.
Now, let's say the straightaways at DeSoto, what kind of speeds are they getting?
If you just go by the stopwatch, they're averaging probably about 83 to 85.
Now, Jack, what do you think of that, them little bitty cars going that fast around DeSoto?
First of all, for an adult, right, and you see these guys climb in these cars from the top, you're literally almost sitting on the pavement.
Inches away.
Inches.
Inches.
Going 83? It's unreal, man. Yeah. I watch them, and I marvel at it. I keep waiting to see. I want to see the big race where we got 30, 35 of them bad little guys out there on the racetrack, drafted and doing all that stuff.
Oh, and there's drafting, too. There's
definitely
some drafting getting done out there on the bigger tracks.
Yeah. You definitely will be doing some drafting.
It's like Talladega, because in the big cars on Talladega, take some 2 or 3 laps to get up to full speed. These guys are the same way. Like you said the other night, if you get out of the throttle, you're done.
Right. Yeah, you burp it one time, and you lose a lot of momentum.
Yes, sir, that's a fact. Now, the success of this series is really based on your drivers that you have. And the driver count has increased over each race. So it's obvious that your success is really getting there. But really what measures your success is now you got the paparazzi chasing you around.
Oh, yeah, you got to love that. I mean, we can't even, actually it's kind of a compliment, that they want to be around such a successful series.
No doubt about it.
But the thing is they need to get a little better cameras. These Kodak, these $8 Kodaks disposables, you put them in the baggie, drop them off, and get Walmart to develop it.
Well, you buy 30 or 40 website names, you kind of get lost in the money there.
Yeah, right. Well, when you're on a budget, I understand.
Right. Now, Jack, you were at the banquet. What'd you think?
Well, I was impressed. You know me. I don't do these kind of things that often, being old and decrepit as I am. But no, I walked into place. I thought I couldn't believe how many trophies and stuff was in there that these guys gave away. And it turns out, I asked, and it was something in the order of $8,000 worth of stuff that was given to the drivers. And there's a lot of series that have been around a little bit longer than these guys and race at a little bit bigger level, so to speak, in the public's eye, who could probably learn a whole lot from what these two have done. Regardless, I don't care what anybody says. The evidence is from what you see. And everybody there had a great time. And it was really, that whole concept of family, which is kind of an overused term sometimes, it was really evident that night, and no doubt about it.
And what really impresses me about this series is the promotion. Susan, you get out there, and you must be beating the path every single day out there.
Microphone on there.
There you go. There
testing.
You go. There you go. You got it now. Now hold it right up there close like that. Yeah, like a lollipop.
Kind of like the camera got in my husband's face.
Yeah, go ahead. Whatever.
What were you saying, Rick?
I said you're out there promoting this series on a daily basis, really beating the path. The sponsors that you put together, any track promoter or track owner would be impressed just to have them on his billboards.
I've had a few track owners ask me, would I come aboard to help them out? And I don't need another project.
No, and Rick commented on her persistence quite a few times during the banquet. He talked about it, and people, there were some giggles. Everybody in that organization knows where she's about. They
yeah,
no doubt.
And it takes persistence, doesn't it? I mean, there's a lot of guys that say no first, second, third, fourth time.
I don't let them say no when they find
There you go.
I call her a sponge. And she definitely knows how to absorb the funds. But, just Jack, real quick, just to make a little correction. The total banquet, trophies, prizes, all the door prizes, the barbecue that we had and just some of the little trinket things come to about a total of $8,000.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting better, and $8,000 is definitely a big purse to have to spend to put on something like this for such a low budget, you know.
Exactly.
Group of guys. But
it was reminiscent of a few years ago when the modifieds, the Gulf Coast modifieds,
right.
When Margie Nanny and the gentleman from up there,
Rob,
help me out. Anyway,
yeah, right.
Those guys with Margie Nanny working in that organization and watching how they conducted their races, and at the conclusions of the race, they always laid out some food and things like that. You know,
uh-huh.
I was really reminded of that kind of thing a lot with these guys. It's very good. It's very needed. The way they do it.
Well, that was the whole idea of you guys starting this series, right?
Giving back to the drivers,
right? Because you were a past champion of the other series,
right?
And I was really shocked when we first met, and I asked you about it, and you said, "I said, you know, what is the usual payoff for these guys?" And you said, "Nothing."
Right. Yeah, I raced with Florida Mini Cup for about four years. I was associated with them for 5 years. And you just start hearing a little bit of the complaints about, you know, I just help me subsidize some of my budget. You know, okay, well, it costs you $200 to go, $250 to go and come back, your entry fees. You know, even $50 would have been nice, you know, even to win. Yeah. That would have been great. You just help with my budget a little bit.
Right. And I was really shocked because you told me that each race they had an entry fee, and besides, the tracks were paying the series.
Correct.
And none of that was making its way down to the drivers.
No, we figured it out. The last owner, and I don't want to put any disrespect to the new owners, but the previous owner probably profited about close to $40,000.
Get out of here.
Serious as a heartbeat.
And never a penny going back to the drivers.
Not a dime. Wait a minute. Let me correct that.
Okay.
There was two, in the 4 years I've raced, there was two $50 dash for cash, and they only used six drivers, the top six qualifiers.
And the winner got $50.
And the winner got $50.
So the other five guys got to race extra laps.
Extra laps. Well, we used to call it practice.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to, that sort of thing can't be around now. I mean, the drivers are at every level are strapped. It's like John Sapricone, owner of DeSoto Speedway, was on our Inside Florida Racing show last night, and he was talking about the state of the economy and all that, and it's just, you know, he realizes it's not just the tracks who have to really watch what they're doing here, but the drivers do too. I mean, bottom line.
Well, anything that's against what we're trying to, you know, what everybody's trying to do out there is just hurting.
Right. Well, you know, you've got a few group of people out there that really try to put stuff in your Cheerios that, you know, taints it a little bit.
Right.
And it just ruins it for everybody.
Yeah, it's not necessary. It's just totally not necessary.
There's too much negativity in racing all by itself without having to be rubbed in our face.
Well, you want
daily.
The controversy, and we talk about this all the time. I mean, you want controversy in any kind of sport. You might as well want it because it's going to be there anyway.
It's part of it.
It's part of it, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, or racing. Any kind of sport, competitive, and my God, the you know, those sports really can't touch the adrenaline that's running through people's veins when they're racing a stock car,
right?
You know? And
right.
You're going to have that anyway. But there's a difference between controversy and conflict. And if you're out there in the world just trying to create conflict between people, groups, and organizations, you're going to lose. You can play around with those games all day long, but you're going to lose in the end. You're going to lose because in this game, there's one thing that you take with you, and that is your reputation, accompanied by the respect that you've earned from the people in this business.
Your peers.
And if you don't have that, you're going nowhere.
And, I mean, and it's all about, you know, we've been around this so long. We've been doing this so long and know all these people, and then, you know, people just come in and are going to tell everybody that, no, you're not that person that they've known for 10 years. Well, who are they going to believe?
Right. I agree with that statement. With the other series, I mean, the guy bought a turnkey series on the coattails of an established business. We started ours at grassroots with nothing, no money, just pounding the pavement. We weren't riding nobody's coattail.
That's the way it's got to be done.
That's right. And you know, to earn and get, nobody wanted that series. There was already a series out there. There was the conflict between the two groups and all that. And to get to the point where the folks at Auburndale and then John Sapricone at DeSoto to bring the series in, that says, to me, that says it all.
I tell you what, we love racing at DeSoto. John Teach gives us all the respect, you know, as the late models, the open wheels, the wings. It doesn't matter. If you're there supporting his track, he'll back you 100%.
That's the way he does business.
Yeah, we've really got a lot of respect for John Sapicone. We admire his tenacity and his business. You know, and but the thing is, owning a series, owning a track, and track owners and promoters, this is a business. You know, yeah, you got to provide something and some substance for drivers to want to show up, go to your track, be a part of your association. But the bottom line is, it's a business. And when you have to protect your business, it's like you go out to cash and carry, wherever you do your grocery shopping, and you buy a big old bushel of apples. You go through them. There's one bad one every time. You find that rotten seed.
Right.
And we just happened to get one in our series this year. And it's created a little bit of controversy that, you know, slandered our good name, the name and the reputation that we're trying to build.
Well, and I mean, John's had the same thing, and it's come from several different directions on him, and he's handled it the way he's handled it. I mean, it's his business,
right?
Just like anybody else's business, you handle your business the way you handle it, but you don't go around blaming everybody for every single little problem you have.
Right, right. And that's what happened. Whenever somebody didn't get their way, it's Rick and Susan's fault. If I didn't get enough money, it's Rick and Susan's fault. You know, if I crash, it was Rick and Susan's fault. John Sapicone's fault. Your fault. Bobby Deal's fault. Rex Guy's. You know, it's never... Take some responsibility for your own actions. You know, well, it's like these... We got junior drivers.
Yeah.
And you got parents that are supposed to be teaching these kids the right path, the proper way to go down it. It's not the driving ability. It's the respect of the whole entire industry as a whole. So, and it's just gotten out of hand.
It's kind of a shame, too, because little Daniel Miller, remember we had him on our show several times. Up at the Snook River Grill.
Hell of a little kid.
And watched him race and stuff.
Watched him race.
And that's really what it's all about. You know?
You can't take nothing away from Daniel Miller.
No.
He's got talent beyond, you know, reason. You know, so it... But,
and it's a shame. You know, we've seen some things like that happen time to time. And other deals with kids and stuff. And
see it every year.
Yeah, it's time. You know, it's just, you know, adults need to be adults and... let the kids be kids.
You know, what it comes down to is, I mean, if you're not happy where you're racing, if you're not happy who you're racing with, if you think that things aren't the way they should be, it's just like listening to a radio show or watching a television show that you don't like. Change the channel. Go race somewhere else.
So you learned some things about all that this year, and I imagine you'll handle some things differently. These kinds of events or things like that happen in the future, you'll probably handle them a little differently.
Yeah, yeah, we've learned a lot of things, and I mean, we got to apologize to Daniel Miller and Daniel Miller only. You know, he's the only one that's getting hurt by this. But in the same token, we have to protect every driver in our series.
So if I get this right, the reason that you felt it necessary to talk about this publicly is because of things that have happened to you and your wife over trying to operate this series.
Yep, I'm going to protect my wife at any, you know, cost, whatever it takes. I'm not going to let my wife be slandered you know, publicly humiliated by one group of people that's got an agenda just to start and stir it up. We're not putting up with it. Rick and Susan of the Fast Mini Cups are not pushovers. We won't tolerate it. We won't have it. That's the only headache people we've had all year long.
Well, and also, though, even this thing out a bit, you know, the family did come, other than the mom and dad, and, of course, that's the whole story, of course, that you've been talking about. But the child was able to come, and he is a child. He's just a little boy.
And
including myself,
we are all forgetting that.
The whole thing came, and the grandparents and other relatives came. They all sat at the table with the little boy, and they had a great time, and they got the big trophy, and he got to stand in front of people and talk and get the acknowledgement and the applause of these people. And in the end, regardless of any of this stuff, probably that little boy's that's probably bigger than all of this, really.
You know? Yeah, well, you know, we also, my wife and I would like to apologize to the Miller family, you know, the grandparents and the brother and the aunt that came. When we first walked out the door and getting ready to let our people in to come and enjoy our evening, we saw Greg Stern right off the bat. We had been warned about him a week ago. But the minute we seen that whole group, we're thinking that's the posse, you know. Ma Barker and her whole group. But what it was is my wife was focusing on Stern. She knew. She spotted him like a fly, you know, that had a red butt. You know, he was just out there. You know, and he's got his little Kodak camera out there. And what it was is it's not that so much he would like to come in with the family and take some pictures. The minute my wife approached him, he started clicking off that camera like paparazzis do. Well, I was out back. I came back around front. She informed me what just happened. I said, oh, yeah, that guy there. I went up again and asked him to leave. My wife is not even focusing on the Miller family. If she'd have known that was the Miller family immediately and had disassociated themselves with that being.
You know, bottom line, the only one I see getting hurt in all this is Daniel Miller.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's just... Well.
Okay.
Does that sum it up?
No, not even close. I ain't even got started. You want me to go on?
Well, we'd let you, except we've got...
We're going to go to break.
Let's go to a break.
And we'll be right back.
Yeah, we got to get the vacuum cleaner out. There's some smoke out of here. And we'll be right back on Real Racing USA Live.
Hi, this is Tate Pierce, the driver of the number 81 Chevy Monte Carlo Timbrink Underground Special, and we're live on Real Racing USA.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Through the miracle of hypoallergenic adhesives, you transform us from mild-mannered accountant into roadhouse biker hooligan.
Hooligan.
Be it screaming skull or thrashing tiger, you've got a temporary alter ego for any occasion.
Flaming dragons.
What else says, I love you, Mom, like a heart with a sword through it?
You know I love you, Mama.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor Guy. We may not have been born to ride, but thanks to you, we can feel like it.
Thank you, Mr. Big Tattoo Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Bill Riley Auto Parts, ASA Fastlane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
We go. Okay, we're back.
Real Racing USA live.
Smoke cleared. We don't usually have those kind of things on this show, but for some reason we felt
it. Usually John Lennon kind of laid back.
Yeah, but sometimes there's people that got things to say that is rather important. Maybe it gets said. But in any case, the people who needed to hear that, I'm sure, heard it. Beyond that, nobody probably gives a damn. And Terry Wall.
Yes, sir.
How in the heck is NASCAR Fast Talk coming along?
It's coming along great, but I want to know what I missed.
Say what? You on that funny phone again?
No, I'm on my 15-year-old dedicated phone.
Okay.
You sound like you're out in the mountains.
Sounds like you're in the mountains, but that's okay.
No, I think it's you guys.
Okay. Sorry I couldn't make it on the show last night, man. I had to work.
Oh, there you go. I had the wrong switch.
You know, work comes first.
Yeah.
But then again, sometimes work hasn't come first.
So Terry, what was the buzz last night on NASCAR Fast Talk?
Well, I talked about women in racing and how there will never be a woman successful in NASCAR.
You just love that topic, don't you?
I love that topic because it's close to my heart, Jack. I really believe in it. And and history proves my point on that topic. It won't happen. Even millions and millions of dollars behind Erin Crocker. Well, we know how she got her ride, but millions and millions of dollars behind Erin Crocker.
Terry, quit it. This is a family show.
Well, you know, yeah,
it hasn't been so far.
But, oh, really? Yeah. You should have been listening. But you and Rick are my family.
True. That's true.
You're my racing family. So, but anyway.
I know exactly what you're talking about there, Terry.
Yeah. So, you know, that didn't help. Shauna Robinson a few years ago had $10 million behind her from Kmart racing for Richard Krenefuss. The Ford head that went into racing had $10 million to run in the ARCA series.
Here's my question, and you're the guy.
Let me finish my point.
Okay, go ahead.
$10 million to race in the ARCA series, which you could race really good in the ARCA series for a couple million. And she still couldn't get it done. She finished in the top 10 of points, but after spending $10 million, you should have won it hands down, but go ahead.
I don't have a point. I have a question. You're the guy that could answer it.
Okay.
Because you study this. You know who all the women who have failed to make the grade in your eyes.
Charles, another one. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, like in Major League Baseball,
yeah,
women don't play in it.
Exactly.
In National Football League, the women have their own leagues.
Yeah.
And in basketball, there's the Women's National Basketball Association.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, in this deal last night, I even brought it up, Rick, and you tell me what you think. NASCAR, if they want to make a ton of money, they start a women's NASCAR league.
I think it'd be fantastic.
I think it'd be super. We talked about this a year ago, right?
Yeah, I mentioned it on my show last night. They should separate. They should have a women's NASCAR league, start it out like the Busch Series. You know, I can't get used to saying nationwide and probably never will, but the Busch Series, make it like that. And they could,
I don't think we should call it that,
though. You're not on the National Organization Women's mailing list, are you?
No.
I didn't think so.
And NASCAR can make a ton of money because that's all NASCAR is about anymore is making money. They don't give a crap about loyalty or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it's making a ton of money. They could get all the women's manufacturers out there like Revlon and
absolutely.
And X companies and things like that. And they can make a ton of money.
So what are you talking about this coming week? What's the subject? Obviously, you know how to fire them up.
Yeah, this coming week, I'm going to try and get Deborah Inshaw on the show. And I'm going to try and get Darren Crocker on the show.
Hey.
And then we're going to let them have it.
Guess what we're going to do right now?
What we're going to do right now?
We're going to let you go, and we're going to go talk to Glenn Luckett, because you know what he's going to talk to us about? He's going to explain to us all about Kyle Busch coming to USA International Speedway for Speedfest 2008.
Well,
maybe he could make the race.
You know, is Kyle going to get out of the car and say, this car sucks?
Oh, now.
If he does, I'll be right there with the recorder.
Okay. I would love to be there. Well, actually, I think I might be there.
Oh, that's cool.
The Lakeland show.
That's cool. So keep on doing that show, man. And right. That's Monday nights, 9 o'clock, NASCAR Fast Talk with Terry Wall. I'm telling you, who's your co-host?
Bob Buckholz.
Hey, there you go,
Buckholz.
T-bone in the buck
without a T.
Yeah. Gotcha. Talk to you later, Terry.
All right, bye.
All right, Terry Walls. That's Fast Talk, NASCAR Fast Talk, Monday nights 9 to 10 p.m. on Real Racing USA. Man, we're just filling that front page up with radio shows. We got this one. We've got Inside Florida Racing. Of course, Trackside tonight. We'll be talking to Randy Dye later on this evening. The ASA, O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane Show. Straight Lining with Stevie. It's just full. It's great. It's a great network. RealRacingUSA.com to get more information on our shows. Dead air.
Stump you?
You stumped me there for a minute. I was looking at something.
Okay, let's welcome Glenn Luckett from CRA Super Series, man. Welcome to, which show is this, Rick? We do so many shows we forget. Real Race in USA live on Tuesday night.
Hey, Glenn, you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing real good. Probably a little colder than you guys are.
Yeah, well, it's a little chilly here. I think it's in the 50s.
Dump bummer. It's about 20 here.
coming up, Speedfest 2008 at the USA International Speedway. It'll be CRA, the Sunbelt Series, and we're going to have the ASA late models there. David Stremme and just added Kyle Busch going to be there to race.
Yep, yeah. We had talked to Kyle a while back, and we finally worked things out over the weekend that he's going to come. First, he wasn't committed because he thought maybe he might be racing in the Rolex thing over at Daytona, but then that fell apart, so he was able to put this together. They also had to get some cars complete. He's got a deal with Toyota, and I guess that's part of his deal with Gibbs is he has to race in a Toyota all the time now.
So we're going to have a Toyota late model out there?
Yes. Yep, the body's just got approved by Five Star just the other day. They already had them in production. Basically, all they have to really change is just the nose piece.
Now, last year, I mean, that final race, what a competitive race that boiled down to.
Yes.
Yeah, the north-south race. Jack, remember last year when we went to the final race? Those guys were just hashing it out.
I can't remember.
You can't remember.
Mother Nature played a big part in it, too. Remember, we kept trying to struggle through the rain. And
oh, that's yeah, right. Yeah. That's right. Now I remember.
Yeah,
the rain delay.
Caution.
Oh, yeah. It took us, I think we had to stop three different times because of rain, and we kept working stuff out, and you know, they've kind of messed up everybody's pit strategy because of we decided to let people go ahead and pit because we kept them out in the racetrack, and some of them had tried to pit a little early. One of them was the Hoffman team, and actually worked out where he ended up winning the race anyway.
Right.
And we're pulled down to it, but, I mean, those races have always been good races. I mean, it's just an awesome track to come to, and, you know, the cars that we get down there are the best of the north and best of the south, so it's going to be the same thing this year. I mean, the entry list is up to almost 40 cars now. And we got, you know, some tough guys out of Maine. You know, the Mike Rowe and Ben Rowe are coming with Cassius Clark. He just today. All those guys are capable of winning. And plus, you know, we got Scott Hans and Jack Landis with the CRA Super Series. Plus, all the guys from down south. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, it's a tough deal, and it's going to be a great race for people to come out and see.
Ain't nothing like a late model race at Lakeland, though.
Oh, you love it, man. It's one of those things you want to get there and just spend the whole day.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fun.
Like Kyle Busch said, I mean, you know, we've talked to him several times. He's actually raced with us at Winchester three times now. He raced this past year. I mean, he wants to get in the car so bad. He actually races Charlotte, you know, on Saturday and Friday and Saturday in the Busch race and the Cup race. And then him and Strimmy, you know, pile on a plane Saturday night, come in on Sunday morning, you know, start on the tail. They had to start 35th and 36th in this race. They got about 10 minutes worth of practice. And, you know, they did it because they love it. I mean, you know, they basically paid their way to get there and everything. And, you know, they paid their way to do the race. And unfortunately, Kyle's day in it pretty early. He hasn't had a lot of luck there, but. You know, David Strimmy was running good. He got back up to the front, led twice, and then he only had three lug nuts on his car at the end of the race. And the left rear was wobbling real bad, so he had to back off and end up finishing third.
Yeah, now, you know, like Kyle Busch and David Strimmy, people might not know it, but they do have a lot of laps on Lakeland because Lakeland's one of the top tracks that these NASCAR guys come and practice at.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's probably the number one used testing facility for all the NASCAR. I mean, because everybody goes there, all the trucks and Busch cars, and there's a lot of car tomorrow testing there too. So I'm sure, you know, those guys have got some laps there.
You know, tell us a little bit about the CRA.
It's Champion Racing Association. We started in 1997. It was actually four racetracks up here in Indiana. At the time, I was a general manager of Salem Speedway, and my partner RJ Scott. It was mostly his idea. He was at Anderson Speedway, then Winchester Speedway at the time with Linda Holdeman, and the IRP back then instead of ORP. Kind of got together, decided to come up with a little series for the guys in Indiana. Basically, late model racing was kind of falling apart. It just got expensive. A lot of the regular tracks just didn't want to do it anymore, so these guys needed a place to race. So they did a little two-race-per-track series, eight shows total. Turned out pretty good. Had, you know, good car count, good response. The next year, went to 16 races, and that's when I took over as a director in 98, and I've been the director ever since. And that's just grown, you know, every year, and, it, you know, the ABC body thing, we helped spur that with Five Star and with ARP and got it down there with the Sun Belt Series and up north. And when that came through, that's what really opened the gate for the North and the South thing. It used to be the North guys were scared to go down South. They felt like they weren't going to get treated right, you know, that the South was all a bunch of cheaters. Same thing with the South guys. They wouldn't go North because those guys were all cheating. So when we got this ABC body thing, nobody could say anybody was cheating anymore on the bodies. And it got these guys on level playing fields, and now they're not afraid to travel and come racing, you know, different parts of the country.
Yeah, I've been told on pretty good authority that the South definitely has better cheaters.
Yeah, we've heard that a time or two.
I don't know. Ricky Waters comes from West Virginia. He's over North Carolina now, but
yeah.
he's one of the best.
We're talking to Glenn Luckett from the CRA. Glenn, so you've been around, now you can say you've been around late model racing for a long time.
Yeah, I've actually been probably in the racing atmosphere since the early 90s. I raced at Louisville Speedway and raced at Salem for several years, and then I've been involved with the series since it started in 97. And it's those things are, in my opinion, are the best race cars on a racetrack as far as watching a good race. I mean, there's so much horsepower, you know, they don't have the weight that the Cup cars or a truck does or an ARCA car. Guys can actually get them sideways, you know, really maneuver them. There's a good throttle response. I just think they're the best, by far the funnest race car. And I think any of these guys will tell you, that's why you see these guys climb back in these cars, because they're so much fun to race.
Right, yeah, and I agree with that. But one of the controversies that are going around, that's going around now here in Florida about late model racing, is that they're too long, typically 125, 100 lap races, and a lot of people are wanting to see them cut down. I myself enjoy a long race because I like to watch the strategies and everything else that's going on. What is your opinion on that?
Oh, I definitely like the longer races. I mean, our standard race is during the season is 100 laps on a half mile, 125 laps on a short track. And I think you can ask anybody up here that goes to any of our shows that there's exciting racing from beginning to the end. I mean, you know, we've got part of that goes with the different type of motors and stuff. We have several different motor packages, and it's all regulated by weight. And what that does brings a lot of tire strategy into the races. And even crate motors, you'll see, you know, 400 horsepower crate motor running against, 625 horsepower motor in some of our races. And, you know, their whole deal is tire strategy. At the end of the race, you know, they lay back and they've got, you know, if there's some things work out their way, those guys run pretty good because they can come from the back. And, you know, you see them passing people and they run a different groove than a lot of other guys do to save tires. It just makes for interesting shows. And
yeah,
I think up here, that's what people want to see. I mean, you know, with the races we go to, that's what everybody talks about. I haven't heard anybody up here talking about us, you know, going to shorter races.
Actually, I think that's mostly drivers.
Yeah.
I think we've been hearing that from some drivers. And that, like, I think that it's more a deal about the local Saturday night show.
Is it?
Where they, you know, they don't want to run 100-lap races all the time.
Right. See, we had Salem. We're going back to Salem this year. I actually was there through 2000 and left, and they've been trying to run their own deal, and they were trying to run shorter races, and their car count just fell off. I mean, the basis for bringing a late model to Salem, you know, whether these guys come run 50 laps or come run 100 laps, there's really not that much difference in cost. I mean, you know, there's a little bit less in fuel, but if you want to run up front, you got to buy a new set of tires, whether you run 50 laps or you run 100 laps.
So what's go ahead.
If you wreck a car, I mean, it's going to cost, you know, if you're running for $1,000 or running for $3,000, you wreck one, you know, it's going to cost the same to fix it.
Regardless, yeah.
Yeah, some of the tracks we run, especially like Winchester, Salem, Toledo, Nashville, I mean, all those tracks are pretty hard. You know, they're not. They're a little bit abrasive on tires, and they're also tough racetracks. You know, you just don't have a little fender bender there. So those races, you know, those guys up there, it was tough to run a bi-weekly show at a track like that because it's so hard on equipment.
Well, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, January 24th, 25th, and 26th.
Yep.
Lakeland USA International Speedway. It's usaspeedway.com. Speedfest 2008, the North versus the South. $100,000 purse up for grabs. Now,
oh, yeah.
Glenn, tell us a little bit. How did this North-South thing start? I mean, I know the Modifieds have been doing it for a while, but now the Supers have been doing it pretty consistent here lately.
Yeah, we kind of started in Nashville. We kind of revived the All-American 400 up there about 5 years ago, and then we got with Billy Martino and Don Nerone, and, you know, they both had this idea of they had run a Speedfest-type app, you know, show few years back, and it worked decent, but they just couldn't get the North cars, so they wanted to get somebody from the North, and, you know, Don could get the Florida cars, and Billy had the, you know, he had the great place to come race, so we all got together and decided, you know, let's try to do this, and it's worked out real well. I mean, it's that time of year, there's just not anything else going on. I mean, you know, people are looking for a place to go race, and, you know, it's a good opportunity for these guys to come down and get ready for their, you know, regular seasons, which, you know, most of those guys start off up North late March, early April, so they've got a couple months to get ready, even after this race is over.
Right. You know, down here, there's plenty to do at dirt tracks. I mean,
oh, yeah.
The dirt winter nationals are going everywhere. But as far as asphalt, I mean, it's actually pretty slow.
Yep.
And this brings out the asphalt fans and the asphalt drivers for a good one in January.
What is the procedure up there this year? How's the deal work, like, as far as qualifying and all like that and starting position?
Well, we qualify. We actually split everybody up from North and South. Kind of the Mason-Dixon line is kind of what we go by. Up by, you know, South, say, Nashville, Tennessee, right in that area, through North Carolina. By about South Carolina, over down through Tennessee is where we go. They'll qualify in their groups. There'll be an invert 3 through an 8, which is drawn by the fast qualifier for the 100 lappers. The top 10 finishers in each 100 lap race will be the top 10 starters. And what we'll do is we'll have some type of a draw. The two winners will draw to see who gets the inside or outside. And so the say the South guy wins, the top 10 finishers in the South will be the first 10 cars on the inside. The top 10 guys in the North will then be the top 10 on the outside. Then we requalify for the remainder of the field up to 36 cars. If there's more than 36, then we'll lock in. I think it's up to 30. Then we do last chance races for those last positions. And that'll all take place on Saturday after the 100 lap qualifiers on Friday night.
So Kyle will make the race.
Yeah, he's told us, him and David both, that their intent is to be there all 3 days. They intend to be there for practice on Thursday and for the 100 lapper on Friday, and then the 200 lapper on Saturday. If not, we've already guaranteed them that they would have promoter's option. Start the race, kind of like what we did at Winchester. You know, they would start at the start in the back.
So it's twin 100s on Friday night, and then the big 200 lapper Saturday night.
Yeah, that's for the super late. So this year we have the crate late model challenge for the first time. It involves ASA type cars. ASA will have some ASA tech guys there helping us, but we are basically going to rent the same team that runs the super late will also run the crate show. That'll be the combination of the ASA tech guys, fast car tech guys, and CRA tech guys. And then we'll run the tower and everything. I'll be the race director for both races. They'll do 25. We'll do the same type format. They'll do twin 25 qualifying races, north and south, on Friday. And then they'll do a 100-lap race on Saturday. And we've got a few guys doing double duty. We got some news that's probably going to come out tomorrow that I already let you know what may happen here. It looked like David Strimmy got a call from somebody who wanted to drive his crate car, so I think David may step out of the crate car, and you may see Ray Everham in that race car.
Wow.
On Friday.
We may, huh?
Yeah, he's supposed to confirm that tomorrow. But I guess Ray's expressed an interest in driving David's crate car, so...
That's cool.
We'll know more about that tomorrow. But, yeah, that would be pretty neat. I know Ray, he still does some stuff. He still drives some of these all-star races. You know, they bring the cup drivers in and stuff. He still does some of that now and then. I don't know how much he's actually got out, in a competitive race. But I know, back when he was racing, he was very competitive. So I'm expecting him to do pretty good.
That's pretty cool, man. Look forward to it. And, the North drivers have won, if I'm not mistaken, they've won the last two out of three of these, right?
Yeah, well, the first year, yeah, Charlie Menard won the first
one.
And then Mike Fritz won the second one. And then last year was Eddie Hoffman, so this year it's time for a South guy to win.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, buddy.
It always, from a promoter's perspective, that's the best thing that could happen.
Yeah,
every year, as you keep them coming back. But, I mean, it's all different strategy. I mean, it's interesting to watch. I mean, the guys, the North guys, race a little bit different sometimes in the South. The South guys seem like they are just really competitive against each other.
Oh, brutal. Brutal.
And then, and the North guys will actually work, they kind of work together a little bit better. We saw a lot of that last year. The North guys would get up front, and the South guys spend so much time racing so hard against each other, and by the, they run out of laps at the end of the race to get up front. And then, but there's some great drivers. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's some great drivers in the South, but, anybody, Wayne Anderson, he's always got to be a favorite. When he's there, Jay Middleton, I mean, that kid always runs strong. He'll be strong. He's got Mike Cope helping him now. So I know those guys will be tough. Tim Russell, I mean, Tim's got a good team. He's always good. Ryan Sieg out of Georgia, he's a new young talent that's kind of under Wayne Anderson's wing, and I would expect him to be up front too.
Well, I'll tell you, that young Cope coming along is a
pretty good one too.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he's got some talent, too.
Travis Cope is he's done some good stuff.
Likes that Lakeland truck.
Yeah, he likes Lakeland, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And Jeff Schofield, Schofield's always good, and he's got some good guys behind him. Jeff's tough, too. Jeff Chiquette. I mean, you could go down this list of 38 drivers, and there's 30 guys that could win that race.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good one.
All right, man. We will see you there at Lakeland USA International Speedway. When is that, Rick?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
yeah,
January 24th, 25th, and 26th. Speedfest 2008.
Yep.
See you there, Glenn. Thank you, Mr. Glenn.
All right.
Glenn Luckett. Was there anything else you needed to get in here that we didn't?
I'll just make sure that we just got a sponsor. The 200-lap Super Late is going to be sponsored by NOS Energy Drink.
Oh, okay. That's right.
They're going to be the sponsor on Kyle Busch's car. And then Goodyear Tires is the presenting sponsor of the whole weekend. So I just need to mention those guys and make sure we get that in there.
All right, Glenn. Thank you.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Glenn Luckett with the CRA talking about the North-South $100,000 per purse for this race, the North versus South. Speedfest 2008. And you can go to usaspeedway.com for more information.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Rick, what we're going to do here is we're going to take a break and we're going to come back. We're going to the Orlando, what is that place called? Is it the Civic Center?
The Orlando.
It's where the guys play the basketball. We're going there in a minute.
Right.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stub. Getting a little personal, don't you think? Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper. That's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Stubmaster, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion, to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today, 5starbodies.com.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
We're back here on Real Racing USA Live on quite an exciting Tuesday night. Jack, who we got on the line with us right now?
We have Randy Dye with us. Randy Dye has started a radio show about 12 years ago, Trackside Tonight, out of Daytona, Florida. And he's involved in all kinds of racing. He's a driver himself, and he's a sponsor. He's involved in racing every which way. Welcome to Real Racing USA Live, Randy.
Well, thanks, Jack. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, Randy, this is Rick Angies here. How's the Magic doing? You're up there at the Amway Arena?
Yeah, I am, and it's about a minute and a half to go to halftime, and the Magic have about, I think it's a 9-point lead right now.
All right.
Over the Bulls.
There you go.
Yeah.
Randy, tell us a little bit about Trackside Tonight.
Well, you know, we did it, we started it quite some time ago, and it really started out as a I guess as a passion, an extension of a racing passion, and but for the purpose, the real purpose was to try to make the local short track racing guy, at least for the week or for the moment, maybe as little as the moment, the local hero. You know, everybody aspires to try to do the best that they can, and so much of the time, particularly you guys know as well as I do that racing is overlooked in the local community a lot. I mean, the little league kid gets his due, and rightfully so, and the high school basketball star gets his due, and the high school quarterback and running back and all those people, the local collegiate athletes that are stars or standouts, they all get their due, and racing, you got to struggle just to get the results posted in the paper. So we decided that we thought we could try to make the local racing guys, in our community at least, a bit of a hero, and thereby elevate the sport in general, and hopefully they would then be able to attract some sponsors and just make it a little easier to race. And that was the purpose.
Now, how did you go about securing the time on a regular AM radio station and getting somebody to pay attention to you?
Well, it was, you know, it's fortunate. I mean, I'm a business person in the Volusia County area. I own a car dealership, and we advertised on that.
You can say Dodge, Randy.
Okay. Thank you. we own a Dodge Chrysler dealership, and we advertised on the Black Crow Broadcasting Network, and we went to them with this idea. And not only did they do it because they thought, I think, because we were a supporter of the radio, but they liked the idea. They liked the racing connection, and they understand racing. WNDB in Daytona is the flagship, the charter MRN affiliate. So it was kind of it was natural and normal to them, although probably not something they devoted much time or attention to. So it was, you know, we moved around and tried to find our spot. We've moved a couple of days of the week around and a couple different times, but we've been in this time slot on Monday nights at 8 o'clock for a very long time now.
So you've been doing this continuously since 1997?
Actually, it was. I was thinking about it since you called me today. It's August of 1998. It's continuously without a break. No break in the action except for, you know, the traditional holidays. But we have been uninterrupted for that amount of time.
What is a typical format for your show? What type of motorsports or racing do you cover?
Well, we always try to cover the local. The local racing, you know, from coast to coast, really, the east to west coast of Florida, up to South Georgia, sometimes even extend all the way up into Tennessee. In some of those racetracks, we usually get an update from the World of Outlaws late models from, you know, our connection there, Rick Esselman, and you guys know Rick.
Sure.
And then of course I have some relationships with NASCAR, and we try to give, you know, one little bit of news there, but more importantly than whatever news we're trying to give, it's, you know, let people weigh in their opinions, who they're pulling for, you know, who they think's going to win the poll, for instance, already at Daytona, and how Dale Jr. is going to do, and, you know, those kinds of stories.
Yeah, right. And, you know, in 2008, January, you joined Real Racing USA. We joined you. You can listen to your show on Real Racing USA Live, and we're going to archive your shows. Last night, big coup, you had the winner of the Chili Bowl.
Oh, yeah. You know, Bill, we've got a couple of great guys. You know, I started out, this was myself and Hank Sanders. I don't know if you guys...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Remember,
yeah.
Hank?
Yeah, he and I were the guys that started the deal, and then... now we have Joe Lineberrier, who is the voice of the Volusia County Speedway, or Volusia Speedway Park now. They go back a long time, Volusia County Speedway. And then and Billy Osborne, who is has been the flagman out at the Volusia Speedway Park and now the race director. And that was actually Billy's job. He got that job done, and it was a great interview with Damien, and we had a great time talking with him. We also had the winner of the Snowball Derby on right after the Monday, right after it happened. So... we got some pretty good connections that way, and then occasionally I get one of my NASCAR buddies on, and it's kind of we really do it for the passion, and we have a lot of fun, and And we get a lot of the guys, once this regular season starts, we get the winners of the race, the local races on, and talk about, you know, their deal and give them a chance to thank their sponsors and, you know, just do the right thing.
Randy, explain to people, I mean, Jack and I have been doing this for a long time, and you know, you've interviewed so many people here, there, everywhere. Explain to people what it's like to get that interview that's just the one that makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
Well, it's interesting because I don't care what you do in life, it's competitive. You know, whether when I race, I'm competitive, I want to win and try to win every time out. And when we put on our radio host hat, you know, we're competing to be the first guys on the block, to get the good interview. There's a sense of victory there. And of course it goes deeper than that. It's a sense of, being able to provide a real good, program. I mean, to get to expose our listeners to some people they probably, wouldn't otherwise get to see maybe a couple weeks, you know, on tape, but to do it live and particularly right after a big event, it's pretty neat. And Billy deserves all the congratulations for that interview. He set that all up.
That's cool. Now you also, you raced late models and other types of racing. You're going back to racing yourself?
I am. We've been off for a little over 3 years. Had an accident out at New Smyrna. Actually, we had two bad accidents in the same year in 2004. And the last one seemed to do it. It put me, really wasn't sure we were ever going to do that again or be able to do that again. But in April, I got the okay from the doctor. So we started building a late model again. And we're going to do some of that. And we've got a little driver development arrangement with we're working on a deal with Ray Everham, and you'll probably see some people you haven't heard of, but one day you might. You know, it's one of those things. We'll have somebody in the car aside from myself, and maybe one day there'll be somebody big.
Hey, speaking of Ray Everham, we were just sort of talking with Glenn Luckett from the CRA, and he says Ray may be at Lakeland.
In a car.
Well, I know, I'll say this, I talked to Ray last week, and he, I'm going to put it this way, I think he's going to enjoy life a little more. He's put together a really good team up at Gillette Everham Motorsports, and which is going to permit him to have a little different role and to be able to do some things he wants to do. And, you know, that would not be a surprise to me, but although I wouldn't want to commit him. I just think
it would
be a surprise, okay?
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah. It's gotta be neat, man. I mean, you own a Dodge dealership there in Daytona. You've got a radio show in Daytona. I mean, you gotta love racing.
You race in Daytona.
Yeah, racing. I mean.
Right down the street at New Smyrna.
Yeah, we do, and it is. It's a blast. I mean, it's like living a dream. I first came to Florida. I went to see the 1976 Daytona 500, and decided that's where I wanted to live, and 6 years later, that's where I was living, and it was a very long time. I mean, it took a very long time before I got to race, decided to race. There's a lot of business stuff to get done and get in a position to be able to, but, you know, we sure enjoyed it. The community, guys like yourselves, and, you know, you mentioned that we've joined with Real Racing. It's a high compliment to us and what we do to be affiliated with you guys, because you really are professionals, and we've watched your growth over the years, and you know where Carnac came from, and all that you've been through, and you know I am very, very complimented to be a part of your program.
And well, thanks. We feel the same way.
Feel the same way, man. It was, I wasn't sure what Joe's reaction was going to be when I first broached the subject, but I'm. It makes us very happy to work with you. It's really cool.
Well, he felt very much the same way, and you know, we really consider it a privilege, and so we appreciate it. And tonight is just another extension of that. So I'm grateful.
All right, I tell you what, man. I'm sure we'll talk again. We'll let you get back to the game, and we'll talk to you again soon. And it's trackside tonight on Monday night at 8. It's at 8:00.
Hey, Joe and I are going to be down in Lakeland doing the. Billy Martino's Speed Fest for TV.
Oh, we can cause some trouble. We'll be there.
We'll be there, yeah.
Good, come up and see us, will you?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Do. Look forward to it.
Okay, guys, thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Randy.
Go Magic.
All right, yeah, go Magic. Bye-bye.
All right, Randy Dye. Trackside tonight, man. This show, you know, I've listened to it a lot.
Them guys are smooth, man.
They are smooth. They are really smooth. And, I mean, they you know, whether it's Randy's connections or Billy's or whoever's, they got some great guests on every week. So make sure you check that out. You can listen to it live.
At 8 o'clock on Monday.
On right off of Real Racing USA.
Well, you go to, actually, you can go there and you click on the link to the show. And then if you don't catch it live, then you can catch their, we archive all their shows and you can listen.
Last night's show is not archived yet.
You know what? You see right there?
Where?
Yeah, it is.
January 7th.
No, right above that.
Oh, click here to listen
now? Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where the page, that page doesn't quite have the Flash player yet, but it will real soon. Okay. So they'll
all be archived
and you can listen to them anytime. Tell you what, we're going to take another short break. We're going to be back here with Ken Kenny. We're going to go
get the man with two first names.
The man with two first names who started the Dirt Series.
Which looks like it's going to be really exciting.
Which is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
We'll talk to him in a minute.
I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor. Through the miracle of hypoallergenic adhesives, you transform us from mild-mannered accountant into roadhouse biker hooligan. Be it screaming skull or thrashing tiger, you've got a temporary alter ego for any occasion.
Flaming dragons.
What Elf says, I love you, Mom, like a heart with a sword through it.
You know I love you, Mama.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor Guy. We may not have been born to ride, but thanks to you, we can feel like it.
Thank you, Mr. Big Tattoo Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Ooh. Rhythm and finger work of Dangerous Dan Toler. Bring you back from the break. Smooth promoter of the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. They call him the man with two first names, Ken Kenny. How you doing, Ken?
Good evening. How you doing, man?
I'll tell you what. We talked to you, I don't know how many months ago, about when you first decided you were going to do this, and this thing has absolutely exploded.
Yes, sir. I'm real excited. I've been, you know, very, very blessed the way things are going. A lot of sponsors have jumped on. A lot of drivers have signed up. The tracks have been real supportive. I'm, you know, extremely happy.
So now you're going to Alabama, Georgia, Florida?
Yes, sir. That's pretty much what, you know, why the name changed from Florida to United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, you know, and that was our plans, you know, in year two or three. But it, you know, as it's turned out, I mean, you know, we're going to Phoenix City, Alabama, which is a great facility, and you know, going to Golden Isles in Georgia and Waycross and also Screven. I don't leave anybody out, but, you know, we got a lot of Georgia drivers that signed up and some sponsors up that way, you know, so they made it, you know, to where we could do it this year instead of next year.
Getting to go up there and visit with old Frankie Lloyd up there at Golden Isles Speedway, huh?
Yes, sir.
Can we talk, We talked to Frankie last week on this show, and he's fired up. He's always fired up.
He's as good a promoter as there is. I mean, of a racetrack as an owner promoter. I mean, I met him, you know, like basically over the telephone the first time, and he, you know, invited me up there, and he treated me really, really good. I mean, he's done so many improvements at the racing facility, and you know, the Super Bowl racing is going to be huge for them. And but I'm ultra excited. I mean, I think during Speed Week I'll be everywhere there's a late model running, you know, for any of the Florida cars or Georgia cars, you know, trying to get more, you know, more guys to sign up. You know, we landed a couple deals with associate sponsors. You know, Hoosier came on board, you know, now pretty heavy with us. And, you know, we've got some other announcements of a big corporate sponsor that'll probably work out in the next 2 weeks. It's pretty much a done deal. I just got to get the, you know, details worked out. And but I'm super excited. I've had some people call me and say that, you know, they've never been excited in about 10 years as far as, you know, opening of a new racing season as far as the dirt goes in Florida, you know, as they have been this year because of the new series, you know.
The last touring series we had really in Florida, if you want to call it that, was for dirt anyway, with the National Late Model Series.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, but, you know, I've had a lot of support. I mean, there's a lot of people put a lot of hours into it. I mean, I'm on the telephone with Kip up in Kentucky. You know Kip Jack pretty good. He's a hard worker, and he put my website together some. And, you know, you guys have helped me a lot, and, you know, I appreciate everything. I appreciate the radio station. I appreciate the tracks. I mean, everybody's been wonderful to me. I really have no complaints, you know. I've learned a lot in the last month of, you know, I've been around racing my whole life, but I learned a whole lot more about promoting in the last month than I did even in the whole year as far as the, you know, contingency sponsors and, you know, tire deals and, you know, and the more I learn, I think, you know, my goal is to, you know, put some money in the, you know, Florida dirt track, you know, short track racing, you know, that's my goal. You know, I don't want to be secondary series. I want to be this series when it comes to dirt, Florida, you know, Georgia and Alabama.
That's a big deal too, because you're following the footsteps basically of the Southern All Stars and, like I said, National Late Model Series, opening up the season with a big one, the Leap Year Clash at Ocala Speedway.
Yeah, yes, sir. I mean, you know, Mike again, another gem, very, very hard worker. You know, I went to him with the idea of, you know, running the Powell Memorial, you know, as part of my series. And you know, Mike, again, doesn't jump on the wagon the minute you talk to him. It took him probably a month to get back with me and, you know, make a commitment. And then I kind of also, you know, asked him for the opener, and that took probably another month for him because he really likes to think everything out, you know, which will, you know, probably make him very successful this year. And I couldn't be more excited. I mean, I racked my brain one Sunday of the perfect track to open up at, and, you know, that was centrally located between Georgia and Florida, and that seemed to be the place. And, you know, I mean, again, we've gotten a tremendous boost from East Bay, you know, from Todd Hutto and Al and them, you know, to start our schedule. And, you know, and we sure are not going to shortchange them. You know, we're going there the third race of the year, and we couldn't be more excited. And our second race is down at New Henry, you know, where I started this year, and the Ponce de Leon, the second annual, you know, Ponce de Leon race, and that's going to be a 5,000 win 50 lap race. And you know, there's going to be some more big money events announced this week on some of the to be determined races that are on the schedule, you know.
Oh, we can't do it now.
Oh, I hear you. I can give you one. I'll give you one clue. There was a very dear friend of mine that passed away this year, and he was just 50 years old. His name was Kim Allen, and all the people around the lake, I mean, he started out, he was a banker, and, you know, everybody loved him, and then he was a private businessman, his father, just a wonderful man. And we're going to have a Kim Allen Memorial race in Clewiston, which will be our New Henry County Speedway. It'll be the second race down in that area, and it'll be a 7,000 to win, minimum of 300 to start, if not 350 to start right now. We took our 100-lap payout, made it a 50-lap event, and added $6,000 to the purse. And, you know, we discussed making it 8, 10,000 win, but when I really looked at it is, you know, it's the guys in the middle of the field, back of the field that, you know, need some help too, you know, so we figured, you know, 300, 350 to win would, you know, put us right with the elite in Florida, you know, even when the national guys come down, I don't think they pay them much more to start. And, you know, and so that's a big event that we're going to have. And, you know, we've got some big sponsors coming on for that.
How many late models, dirt late models, are there in the state? Now, we're talking, your deal's crate, right?
No, sir. Our series is a blended series.
Okay.
And,
okay.
You know, with the crates at a certain weight, the national late models at another weight, and the East Bay limited 362 motor at another weight. And,
so how many are there?
You know, to be honest with you, you know there's probably 40 or 50 right in that Tampa area that run East Bay because there's 30 to 35 show up every single Saturday night between the crates and the East Bay cars. And there's probably about the same over toward Volusia. And I think, you know, that's really, you know, me having traveled the majority of the time to East Bay this year and only getting up to Volusia a couple times, that's probably my biggest challenge right now is breaking the, you know, that area. You know, I don't know as many people there. I did talk to Wayne Anderson tonight. And,
good.
I talked to the track champion from Volusia, and he said he was definitely going to run our series, Mr. Davis. And, you know, but I'm really working up in that area. But I don't know, man. I'm finding more and more of them, I can tell you. They hide a bunch of them up in that Tallahassee-Jacksonville area, that's for sure, because I've got a lot of calls from that area, too.
That's right.
A lot of them in that Georgia-Alabama area, too.
Yes, sir.
Now, what's really going to be unique is when you kick off the second half of the season on the asphalt down at Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
You know, I love Bobby Deal. I raced some trucks for him after I'd gotten done with that Jackaroo Sportsman Series when the Hooters deal first started, and that was probably the last time I actually raced. And basically, you know, Charlotte County's where I started, you know, and I had probably a lot bigger aspirations than I think people did for me even, you know, as a driver than I actually accomplished, you know. My business took me away a lot and family and, you know, but I'm very excited about going back there and, you know, promoting a race. I mean, it's going to be very interesting. But that is probably the most controversial race on the schedule.
Yeah, why? Why are you going to take dirt, perfectly good dirt cars and try to run them on asphalt?
I tell you, they do it. I tell you, there's a lot of Georgia boys really want to do it because they do it about once a month up there. But I think the Florida guys are not sure, you know, what they think about it. I mean, of course, it's going to serve Chiquette and Mr. Anderson. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, have run asphalt and probably the elite of the elite, and they're real excited about it. In fact, they were trying to talk me into this weekend, Jeff Chiquette, and then again today, Wayne Anderson talking to me about putting a second race on the schedule. And I think this year, you know, I'm going to, you know, stick with the one race and, you know, because I'm, you know, honored that Bobby Deal did ask me to come there. And I want it to be a novelty. I want, if you look at the purse, it says to be determined, because that's probably one of the biggest ones that I want to look for more sponsorship for before I announce that. I really want to make that a huge event. And, you know, I think it'll take some of the novelty out of it if I, you know, put several more on the schedule this year, you know. And but that, you know, that should be huge. We're very excited about that.
Yeah, because the you know, the National Late Model Series used to do it a lot, and several other dirt late model series have run asphalt before. And you got the ARCA. ARCA runs on the dirt.
Yes, sir.
So
yes, sir.
You know, I mean, this will be a good one. This will be a good one.
I don't know if you remember back in the day, the, you know, the modifieds, they used to put them on dirt at East Bay. You know, when they had the modified series and the late model series. I think it was the USA series back in the late 80s, early 90s.
No, it was Rick. Rick Day did that.
Sarah did
with
it.
The Sarah series.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, we're real, real, real excited. I mean, we appreciate the, you know, the radio show and Karnak and, you know, all the people that really have put us out there. You know, it meant a lot. It's been exciting to me. I mean, you know, the economy this year is terrible for everybody, I think. And, you know, to be able to put this kind of series together in an off year as far as the economy goes and to have the interest from the sponsors and the drivers that we've had, you know, it just kind of lets me know what, you know, what this could really grow into for the, you know, for the state of Florida and, you know, South Georgia and Alabama.
How many races you got scheduled?
15.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a commitment that I made that I wouldn't exceed that number. You know, there is another track in Florida that called me about putting a 16th one on it, and it's, you know, tickled me a little bit. But, without a unanimous vote of everybody that signs up, you know, I'm going to stick with the 15 because I feel like 10,000 to win for a 15 race is, you know, also pretty elite, you know, money for a championship this year.
You even got Bubba the Love Sponge signed up for this.
Yeah, old Bubba. But I tell you what, Bubba does a whole lot for the PR in racing, and he's working on some stuff, him and the Nosvishes, you know, actually for the series, not only for themselves, you know, to help me out. And, you know, we picked up some contingency sponsors this year for the this week. Bruce's sign up in Myakka City, tickled to death. He put up some real, real nice stuff for the champion for this coming year. And you know what's really weird is, you know, going into an asphalt season in the past, there's always been three or four clear-cut favorites. And just to be honest, you know, this year, because some of the guys are great drivers and don't like to travel as much, some of the guys are on a limited budget but fantastic drivers, I have no clear-cut favorite going in this deal. And there's probably a good 10, 12, 15 guys that would have a legitimate shot at winning it, you know.
Well, if they go to your website, fdlmcs.com, and look on the right side, and that's just a short list of the drivers, and I mean, that's some names right there.
Yes, sir, and I'll tell you, that's only the guys that sent us the pictures. I mean, if they go inside to the drivers, that list is going to grow probably a tremendous amount in the next couple of weeks, and we'll have a lot of cameo appearances, but, you know, by, of course, you know, Wayne Anderson, and then Tyler Ivey, who's a big name in the National Late Model Series. You know, he's going to run a lot of Super Late Model races this year, but he's already committed to be at Ocala. And a guy named Jay Johnson that finished, I think, in the top five in the National Late Model Series, he's going to be in Ocala. And then those guys aren't even on the list, you know.
Isn't Wayne excited?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's like a kid in a candy store. Yeah. That's what he told me. He said he got a brand new car and another one sitting next to it, and he said he'd never even drove one before. So
he's getting ready to really do something he's never done before.
That's going to be something to watch.
The asphalt world, of course, you know, if he shows up, people figure, well, there goes the money, you know.
He's very good, I'll tell you. You know, the name Anderson, racing, and Wildwood, Florida all kind of go together, you know.
All right, kid. Good deal, man.
Any sponsors you want to thank before we let you go?
Oh, yes, sir. Definitely Hoosier coming on with us. Definitely Homes of Merit in Bartow, Florida will probably be one of our premier sponsors. You know, of course, Central Sheds and Trailers is my business, and, you know, we put a lot of time in it, and a lot of the employees there, it's kind of a thankless deal for them. Some of them have never even been to a race, and they, you know, they're kind of real excited about this. You know, I'd like to thank Kip a lot, and Ziegler Racing, of course, he was the first one to come on board. I mean, he approached me, and, you know, I'm looking forward to him, you know, being the sponsor of the, you know, Fast Time Award at every race. And, you know, that's some of them. And, of course, Scott Built Homes in Waycross, Georgia, that's why we made that race. They're, a proud sponsor of that, going to be a proud sponsor of that race. So we're just real excited. And, you know, of course, we're like everybody else looking for more sponsors. But, I think I've got a lot of big things going. And I really appreciate you guys for, plugging us. And we will not disappoint you in Ocala, Florida. And, you know, for all you race fans, you know, that's going to be a huge event, not only for our series, but for the dirt world, you know, to see an opener on dirt at Ocala, you know. So we're excited.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you up there, Ken.
All right, buddy. Take care, guys. I really appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
All right. Ken Kenny. Now, this, I'm going to tell you what, we've been doing this a long, long time, and I have never been this excited about something as this.
Ken makes you excited.
I'm telling you, well, you know, and when it started out as a, you know, almost like an afterthought down at New Henry County Speedway. He put on a race, and then all these guys showed up, and he put this series together, and all of a sudden, I mean, look at the tracks he's running at.
What do you think,
it's
man?
Taking off. It's taking off. It's really looking good. Well, you know, it's what Real Racing USA does for the upcoming programs. Positive promotion.
He's just smoking it, man. I think that is going to be one bad series, man. The names he's going to, and what impressed me is when he told me right off the bat, way back when, that he's going to have an asphalt race, too. That's going to be fun.
Spooky.
Oh, I can't wait for that one.
All right, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with, we can talk Skip Wall a few minutes, and then we're going to come back with Susan and Rick from the Fast Mini Cups and wind it up. We're going to talk to Skip Wall here in a few minutes about Southern Motor Racing. You don't want to miss this one.
All right. Real Racing USA Live. We'll be right back. Real Racing USA Live back on the internet. Thanks to Jack and his F keys. Keep your fingers off the F keys, Jack. Rick, you've done this show with us a time or two, usually in front of a live audience. Now you're in the studio with us. What do you think?
I love this. This is great what you guys do here. You know, promoting the small teams all the way up to the big teams. I mean, everybody's getting a little bit of positive exposure, and that's great for the racing community as a whole, you know, for everybody. We need this positive, you know, feedback.
Yeah, it's, I mean, over the years, it's gotten enough negativity on its own.
Right,
that
right.
Where people don't have to glorify it.
Right. Well, you know,
I mean, there's some things that, you know, need to be brought out and need to be said. But, I mean, if you're going to do that, you know, give everybody the opportunity.
Right, right.
You know?
Well, what you guys do here over the last, you know, decade has been great.
Decade. You know what happened last Thursday?
Yeah.
Are you really? Skip Wall from Southern Motor Racing.
.com.
Welcome to Real Racing USA Live.
Yeah, that's how y'all doing tonight.
We were doing good till about 5 minutes ago. I started hitting buttons accidentally and knocked us off the air for a minute, but the old F1 shortcut key.
Happens to the best of them.
Hey, aren't you getting bored not being a spotter in the Hooters Pro Cup Series no more?
I miss it, yeah. Miss it doing that, the modifieds or anybody. But, you know, I think everybody's got cabin fever right now. Oh, except you guys are in Florida. Y'all still racing.
Yeah. I haven't been to a race since New Year's Eve, but that's not that long ago.
Do you know see how you said that? Y'all. Down there in Florida. Hey, Skip.
Up here in North Carolina, we don't start racing until second week of March. So we still got
that's way too long.
Time off.
Then you'll go over to Bowman Gray Stadium where they put in 15,000 fans every Saturday night to watch crazy WWF-style NASCAR short track racing.
Well, that's very true, with one exception. Bowman Gray doesn't open up until April the 26th, so we still got a while for them.
Yeah.
Racing around.
Who's the first
field.
Track in North Carolina that opens?
I want to say Caraway Speedway. They're around the 1st of March. I can tell you the Super Cup stock cars, they start March the 8th at Tri-County Speedway, so we got to give them a little plug. First year for this new up and coming series.
Now those are the steel body Hooters Pro Cup cars, right?
Former Hooters Pro Cup cars.
Right.
All right, Skip, you've worked with me. We've worked together on the coverage of the Hooters Pro Cup for years. You and I together and other stuff, and now you've got your own little site here, SouthernMotorRacing.com, which was based on a your favorite racing newspaper magazine ever. Tell us this little story, man.
A gentleman by the name of Hank Schoonfield got him a bachelor's in journalism from the University of North Carolina, and he worked for the Winston-Salem paper. He's a sports editor up until 1961, and he decided to go out on his own, and he opened up his company called Universal Services. And he created this little racing paper. It's called the Southeast Sports Motor Journal. And he ran it for a couple of years. And then 1964, he opens up Southern Motor Racing. And Hank Schoonfield is the first man to ever start a racing tabloid. And he did that in 1964, and he ran it until right about 2 years ago when he decided he wanted to retire. And I'd been talking it over with you and talking it over with him, and to continue his legacy, I decided to start SouthernMotorRacing.com. And unfortunately, over this past Thursday, Hank Schoonfield passed away. And Hank was very instrumental into auto racing, period. And his contributions that he made will probably never be forgotten, but it's forgotten by a lot of people that doesn't realize the behind the scenes that Hank did, such as Hank Schoonfield partnered with a guy named Bob Montgomery around 62 or 64, somewhere around there, that they created the Universal Racing Network. They were the first ones to start racing on Sunday with live radio. Hank did that thing with a lot of challenges, because in North Carolina and South Carolina, that's known as the Bible Belt, and he had to compete with these small town radio stations on Sunday.
Sure.
And trying to get that going, well, he went and did this. Him and Bob did this together. But then Bob passed away, and Hank still continued to do it. And they went from 30 radio stations on Sunday up to 300. And then in 1981 or 1982, NASCAR stepped in and said that they didn't want them having a little monopoly, so they created the Motor Racing Network, which is still at it today.
Imagine that. And
so that was a big achievement that they had. And so we can contribute a lot to Hank Schoonfield with what's going on the radio.
Sure.
Now let me tell you about the television in 1967, and I was in the seventh grade at the time. And Hank worked with this company called Teleprompter. They were doing a closed-circuit television for the Daytona 500. And they did this in 67 and 68. And I remember back then, you know, $7 is a lot of money back then. But you pay $7, and you go to your local Coliseum, and you get to watch it on the big screen and watch it live in Daytona. And Hank was a producer for that. And then in 69 or 70, right around in there, is when CBS Television bought the rights out. And so Hank was very instrumental in getting live TV and live radio. First one to have a racing tabloid. So Hank decided to retire right at 2 years ago. And we were fortunate enough to be able to get a copy of every publication that Hank ever put out. And that's, as we talk, that's still being put in archives for Karnak.com.
Yeah, Susan and Rick are here right now in the studio with us, and they're looking through one of the collections. I think the one that they have is from the 93 or something like that. But they go all the way back to the 60s, 70s, 80s. It's 40-some years. It's just unbelievable, the history that's contained in those magazines.
Yeah, quite a bit.
He was a phenomenal guy, and his contribution to motor racing, it's just something else. Even some of the stuff, the old racing tapes that he had, when he retired, he gave them to Appalachian State University, which is the NCAA 2 champions.
Yes, we got them on the radar, man. So does, like, Michigan.
Yes, yes, we know all about Michigan, too, don't we? But Hank, he didn't forget his grassroots. He also, for the modified fans, he was also publicist for Bowman Gray Stadium. since 1964.
So this is going to be a dream come true for you. Here was your favorite magazine when you were a kid, and you followed all this stuff and living there in North Carolina. And then you end up getting your hands on the entire body of work of the magazine, the entire collection from the first publication to the last. And then you have a website, Southern Motor Racing, named after it. And here you are carrying on the work of this guy and writing stories about him. And 10 years ago, I bet you'd have never thought you'd be doing this stuff.
No, I didn't. You know, it's just, it was amazing just to grow up with that and just being able to read about that stuff. Because over 10 years ago, there wasn't that much coverage of racing. It wasn't as popular as what it is now, or at least before R.J. Reynolds got into racing. And Hank's paper was just, it was right there, it covered it all. And I never would have thought that it would come to like this. And, you know, I think it's an honor and a privilege to be able to carry out his legacy. And seeing that name, Southern Motor Racing, not be able to be put away. Right. And I just hope that we can carry it on in a manner the way he did.
And we'll be doing some stuff on your website and also on some of the sections of Karnak where we go back in the past, huh?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And some of those pictures is just would not. And it's just a trip down memory lane. And any and everything was there. Even like when Richard Petty got his 200th victory, and you could go research, find out where the short tracks was, who had the longest record here and there. And it's all right there. And then the history of it with all the pictures is just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's news stories in there. I noticed some of the, back in the earlier editions, there's news stories of tracks from Florida that have long since gone. And the same for North Carolina.
And I'm sure now, in North Carolina, we don't know much about the Snowball Derby. But yet you research the Southern Motor Racing and you can see pictures of stuff like that.
Hey, man.
Mader days.
That's right. Dave Mader. Man, them guys, the Alabama gang, all that stuff. It's all there. It's amazing.
And I think if memory serves correct, was it Butch Lilly that lost his life down in DeSoto?
Yeah, Marty's dad.
That's in there. And, you know, it's just if you're a history buff and like to see history, I think here in the upcoming months on Karnak, you'll be able to see a lot of history.
Yeah, it's cool stuff.
On the site.
It's pretty cool, Skip. Hey, by the way, We talked to the folks, and Kyle Busch will be making his attempt to make the field at Lakeland.
You know, I heard something about that. It was him and somebody else was practicing up there.
Yeah.
Somebody else in the Sprint Cup is coming to Lakeland.
David Stremme.
There you go.
And then Ray Abraham is supposed to race, too.
Yeah, come down, Skip. I know you're too busy up there making money in North Carolina.
You know, I miss coming down to Lakeland, particularly the Hooters race when they come down in February. And Hooters used to go to St. Augustine. And, you know, it was a joy just to be able to get down there in February and March because it was still cold up here.
Yeah. Well, you can still come down. We'll let you.
Well, I need to do that, and it seems like the last time I flew down there to Tampa, Jack Smith was nowhere to be found.
He'll tend to do that to you every once in a while.
In particular, he knows I like to eat heavy.
Yeah, that's right. I was supposed to buy, that's right. Too funny, man. Listen, we'll talk to you soon. We're running up against the clock. We got to get back with Susan and Rick, but... yeah, this is kind of exciting. We're bringing back some of this old stuff from the past and putting it out on the website. Did you have something there, Rick?
Yeah, just looking through this archives book. Russell wins first race, New Smyrna Speedway, September 30th, 1993.
Russell the dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, Timmy Russell's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. There you go.
It's definitely an outrageous piece. Everybody needs to get a copy of that.
Yeah. So, the only way you're going to get it now is on Southern Motor Racing and Carnac.com, I guess. Hey, go ahead, Skip.
Those out there that would like to read about Hank, we wrote a story about him, and it's on www.southernmotorracing.com.
There you go.
To him, got a couple pictures of him, and we'll not forget him.
Good, thorough story, and you're on it, Skip, as always, man. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Thank you very much for having me on the show. See you.
Anytime.
Skip SouthernMotorsports.com, right?
Yeah. That's Skip's cool. One of those guys, you know, he's just a really, really big fan, and he started learning how to write some articles and putting some things together, and Skip's become... pretty accomplished at this media stuff. I'm really proud of him. It's cool. He's worked really hard to learn how to do a lot of stuff.
Got some really good pictures of the Bailey's 300 up on his website.
Yeah, he goes out and he takes pretty good pictures. He's learning how to be a photographer. He'd never done none of this stuff 6, 7, 8 years ago, and now he's taking it by the he's doing it all.
I want to welcome Teddy Kempkin.
Yeah, Teddy Kempkins.
Just joined the message board.
I seen that earlier today. So let's get back over here and wrap this up. We want to talk to Susan and Rick from the Fast Mini Cups again. So one of them, man, we just love doing this stuff. We could do this all. I mean, I have so much fun doing this. We talk to people all over the country. Like tomorrow night now, we're going to be talking to some really top drag racers and Harley Davidson drag racers and ASA race car drivers.
Them guys are crazy that run them top fuel Harleys.
I don't think there's a word for them guys. It's.
I think they left their toys back in the toy box.
Oh, man. And every time we do interviews with them, that just gets reiterated because the next one's craziness tops the last one's.
The 68-year-old guy that's recovering from the broken back, getting his motorcycle's almost done.
Yeah, we're talking to this guy, and we're doing this interview. This is one of the interviews, and we're going along, and yeah, he's talking about his broken back and some other wrecks he's had, that just, you know, horrific things. We didn't know until the end of the interview he's like...
Almost 70.
Almost 70. He's right. He was a rookie this year.
Yeah.
Well, Susan and I ride with the club over there in Zephyr Hills. We got a couple of real nice bikes. And we ride with a gentleman that's 88 years old. And it's absolutely wonderful.
Amazing.
Your mic ain't on. You're
my
sitting
mic
there,
ain't on. I'm doing all this running my mouth and my mic ain't on. Tomorrow night. Do it, Rick. Straight line with Stevie, man.
Straight line with Stevie. Drag racing. 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
Got some good drag racing. This weekend, we'll be down at Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
That's right. We got to go to a race.
Yeah, the Carnac.com Outlaw Street Stock 100. It's 100 laps. It's a race, and I don't even know.
It's a 100-lap race?
100 laps, I think.
Oh, yeah, Street Stocks, 100 laps.
Outlaw Street Stocks. They got a big weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Late models on Sunday. They got trucks. They got Fast Kids. They got Pro 4s, Fab 4s, Thunder Trucks, Road Warriors, and more late models.
I want to thank Carol Wicks for her help. I forgot to say something I got to ask, but Carol Wicks helps us put these shows together all the time.
Yeah, she does a real good job. Well, Jack, another edition of Real Racing USA in the book. We'll see you next Tuesday night right here from the Real Racing USA Live Studio. Until then, I'm Rick Andrews along with Jack Smith. Good night now.
Don't stop thinking about it.